Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Well, today we're going to deal with church problems. Unfortunately, there are a lot of church problems. It's reflective of what's happening in our culture. And today I'm going to talk to a pastor who's kind of caught in the middle of this. And it's very, very awkward, so much that I told him that I would do this podcast anonymously. It's only the second time I've ever done this. One other was a missionary who deals in the Muslim world. And, you know, sometimes there's a reason to do this. And we're going to talk about some of the issues that are going on in the United Methodist Church. You know, at one time they used the expression shouting Methodist. I mean, John Wesley was one of the great men of history. The Methodist Church has been a great church, but it has really changed. So stay tuned for my conversation with my friend about what is going on in the United Methodist Church and some decisions that he and his congregation are having to make.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'm doing podcasts by video more and more now. In fact, you can check me out on YouTube. But this one, as I said, and the lead is anonymous. It's a little bit hard to be anonymous if you're on video, but I understood why my friend, you know, wants to talk about it. We at Charisma have trouble dealing with these things. It's kind of church politics and personalities, and people don't want their, how do they say it, dirty laundry aired. And, you know, we are not muckraking journalists, that's for sure. But there are some very important issues. And basically, it's these denominations are going left. And it's not new. The United Methodist Church has been liberal for at least 50 years and maybe 100 years, at least certainly from what it was back in Wesley's day. So let me first of all welcome you. We're using technology to change your voice, and I'm not even going to say what state you're in, but I'll just say that I've known you for a while and known that you have been recognized because of the growth of your congregation in a denomination that's been declining for decades. Your church was growing. So let me start by asking why it is that you think that your church was growing when there are so many United Methodist Church and other mainline churches that are dwindling.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be on with my friend and to catch up with you. I think we just went back to the core, and we go back to what is the essence of the scriptures, which is that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible is the Word of God, and he must be born again. When we teach that, when we deviate from any of that, but when we teach that, there is fruit. When we deviate from that, there's decline. And I think that is kind of the watershed in the Methodist Church. When you deviate from what Wesley said, you have nothing to do but to save souls. When you deviate from that into political correctness or in what is called social justice now, which is really equity, justice, you know, as we're hearing more and more about that, or identity politics, or whatever it might be, when you focus on that, you're not changing the world for the transformation for the kingdom of God. You're building your own little kingdom and your own little political agenda. But if you focus on the kingdom, you know, Jesus said it best, you know, seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so that's what we've done. That's our focus, is helping people find Jesus and helping them know that it's okay, that they don't have to have it all together. But when you come to Jesus, he cleans you up. And we're all messes in the process, but we're messes that become messages to the world, if you will. And so I think that's our focus. And it's just been very, we're very blunt about that. We're not apologetic whatsoever about it. And quite frankly, I get a lot of blowback in the Methodist Church because when I do that, I'm considered not very Methodist. And so, but we don't care. My boss has scars on his forehead and nails and prints in his hands, so that's who I'm accountable to. Ultimately.
Amen. And I remember that several years ago, we actually did a story about your church because there were a lot of exciting things to share. And I just remember that you told me that some of the more conservative congregations, and there are a number of conservative congregations around the country, it's mostly if they have a conservative pastor.
Right.
And that some were going to pull away and start a new denomination. And we even had a journalist contact them. It was part of the Wesleyan Covenant Association, and they said, no, we're not starting a denomination. This would have been in the late teens. And so then about a month ago, I get this text message from you, who I hadn't heard from since Christmas, at least. And there was a meeting starting the Global Methodist Church, and your text message said something to the effect of, remember, I told you this would happen. And in fact, you said, I'm reading it right now. I looked it up on my phone. Remember when they called me a liar and said they weren't doing this? And I said, I remember.
Right, exactly.
And I said, can you do an article on this? Because, you know, this is something that as we cover what's happening in the church world. And so we were texting back and forth. And we finally did this podcast. So really, it's to kind of get your view of it. But the Global Methodist Church, which met in Nashville earlier this summer, you know, they're moving ahead.
In May.
Okay. So anyway, are you wanting to join that new denomination?
Well, I'm very conservative in my theology, but my concern with the Global Methodist Church, which is an off-growth of the WCA. The WCA is within the United Methodist Church. It's kind of the ones that are setting up those churches to get out of the denomination, helping them get out. And the Global is kind of the landing spot.
Now, when you say WCA, most of us who aren't Methodists, it's the Wesleyan Covenant Association, which is a subset
correct
to the United Methodist Church somehow.
Yeah, it's a conservative movement within the Methodist Church that's basically advocated for returning back to the origins of Methodism during the time of Wesley. So they're essentially advocating now for those churches to get out of the denomination and to land over into the Global Methodist Church, which is really a terrible name, to be honest, because the word global is just, you got globalism, and it's just the worst name ever. So I don't know who came up with that. But and then the acronym is GMC, which that's not very great either. So, it's an interesting thing. But the failure that I see here, Steve, is the failure of the United Methodist Church was not only doctrinal adultery, if you will, where they essentially went out and did something completely against the scriptures and not applying the Bible, not living up to the standards of the scripture. It wasn't just that. It was also institutionalism within the United Methodist Church that killed it, bureaucracy. The Methodist Church came of age, really, but the modern-day Methodist Church didn't come about until 1968. It's a fairly recent invention, and it was the Evangelical United Brethren Church and the Methodist Church that came together in 68 and became the United Methodist Church. And in the late 60s, everyone was kind of still enamored with that United Nations model. And so they created bureaucracies that were siloed, that were just like the United Nations. So the head of each of those bureaucracies is called a general secretary. And it's like the general board of global missions, the general board of evangelism, the general board of discipleship, and so on. The most notorious one, of course, is the general board of church and society, which actually has a building next to the Supreme Court behind the Capitol. And it's called the Methodist Building. And they're the ones that have hosted abortion rights rallies and stuff like that, which is just hideous and horrible. But what happened is you have essentially a lot of unaccountable bureaucrats in the denomination that it's funded by apportionments in the Methodist Church, which is essentially the taxes that each Methodist church pays. And you have this unfunded bureaucracy that just goes out and does whatever their particular agenda is, whatever they want to do, with very no oversight and no accountability whatsoever, other than being able to pull the plug on their funding, which is not easy to do.
Well, I'm old enough to remember 1968. You aren't. And as a kid, I grew up in Iowa, and we used to have EUB churches up there, Evangelical United Brethren, and there are a lot of Germans in that part of Iowa, and I always remember my father, who is a pastor, saying that it was kind of the Methodist church from Germany that came over with the immigrants, and I guess it's really not that important, but I was very aware that it was the merger of the two that was called United Methodist Church. Now, let's talk in the few minutes we have in a short podcast like this about this trend, because, you know, one of the most liberal denominations, in fact, some people say it's the most liberal Protestant denomination, is the United Church of Christ, not to be confused with the Church of Christ, which tends to be very conservative.
No music, church.
But it is right. It is the new name for the Congregational Church. The Congregational Church was the Church of the Pilgrims. So when the separatists came over, they were very, very, very conservative. I mean, they wanted to separate. They didn't want to purify the Anglican Church. They wanted to separate. They were non-drinkers. Exactly. They were very, very pious. Very conservative. They formed the Congregational Church because instead of it being an ecclesiastical setup like the Anglican Church is, and like the Methodist Church is, because John Wesley was an Anglican, at least when he started, so each church was its own congregation, which is why they called it the Congregational Church. That has morphed and morphed and morphed and morphed and become so liberal the Pilgrims would not even recognize it. And, you know, we could name other denominations. In fact, the Episcopal Church is going through this,
the
same thing, whereas almost all of the conservative Episcopalians, and there are them, many of them are charismatic, have left and joined the Anglican Church, where the Episcopalians in Africa tended to be really conservative, Bible-believing, believing in the power of God, and they would welcome these people in. And in our area, there are a number of churches that used to be Episcopal or Episcopalian, and they are now called Anglican.
That's right. Well, the same way the Methodist Church too, Steve. The Africans were the ones, they've been growing like crazy. They're the Spirit-filled United Methodist. It's in Africa. It's actually outgrown the domestic U.S. membership. Africa is, and it's one of the actual sad situations, because they've actually, the liberals in America try to disenfranchise the Africans from voting at what we call our General Conference, which is our General Assembly. They tried to do that because they're very conservative and they don't want them voting on matters like we need to vote on. So, you know, it's the same kind of thing.
So anyway, I guess my point is that it's been a trend that denominations, no matter who they are, kind of get off base. And we could go back, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is really, you know, the early church. And then, of course, it split into the Greek Orthodox. And they got further and further away from New Testament Christianity, to where Luther rebelled against it. I mean, they were selling indulgences. It was well known that many of the popes had illegitimate children and all kinds of things that are kind of a black eye in history. And then Luther and the other reformers, which would have been Calvin and some others during that era, they kind of wanted to go back to being saved by grace. The just shall live by faith. But then the Lutheran Church over the years is becoming more and more liberal, and the Methodist Church came up later. You know, there's been wave after wave after wave in our lifetime, actually it predates our lifetime, but you know, the Pentecostal movement is the movement that I grew up in, and people got tired of dead religion. Now, back then, they wouldn't have, you know, some of the wokeness that we're dealing with now and the critical race theory and transgenderism,
I mean,
they couldn't have even dreamt of, but back then, the churches were kind of dead. People had, you know, they called it Sunday morning church, Sunday morning religion. You know, the Pentecostals said they lived like the devil on Saturday night and then go to church on Sunday morning, and they didn't want that. They wanted, you know, where you're on fire for God, witnessing. There were other lifestyle things. There was a holiness movement back then. In fact, the holiness movement really kind of came out of Methodism in a way.
Well, as did Pentecostalism. The Pentecostal movement, it was huge in Methodism, early Methodism, late 1800s, early 1900s.
And a lot of the basic doctrines, you're right, are kind of from the Methodist Church, the way the Bible is interpreted. You're absolutely right. Now, they would have added the charismatic gifts to emphasize healing and speaking in tongues and those kinds of things, which kind of died down for a while and then came back with the charismatic movement. So there's this kind of wave after wave after wave. And this is a subject for a different podcast, but I'm concerned that the Pentecostals, as they get their own seminaries, in fact, there was a traditional Pentecostal denomination. We're going to look into this at Charisma, but there was this big controversy at one of their meetings where some of the seminary professors were wanting to be kind of gender neutral in referring to the Godhead. Mm. So it was kind of not our Father who art in heaven, but our parent who art in heaven. And, you know, wonder what's going to happen.
Well, Steve, I can tell you something about this, Steve, because this is a road we've been down, because we've been dealing with it from the late 1870s, 1880s is when this started, with a lot of the things that happened within German theology that became influential in United Methodist seminaries in America. A lot of German theologians, that's where the reimagining Jesus and all the other stuff came from. And it was the early 1900s, there was the last heresy trial in the Methodist Church. And the guy was acquitted because he was a theological professor at Boston University, a seminary. And he trained most of the people who were actually there to judge him. But he's one of the ones that embraced modernity over the fundamentals of the faith. And denying the supernatural, denying, you know, any kind of miracle effect sort of thing. And that's where and that's what started us on this long journey of decline, where for a long time we were just kind of running with a lot of biological growth, because you just do that. And then the baby boom, that, you know, everybody went back to church when they got back from the war. And then by the early 70s, we went into a 50-year decline that we've never recovered from. And so we've just been paddling downhill for the last 50 years. And it's because of pluralism. And what we adopted in 1972 was actually the doctrine of pluralism, which the guy that actually came up with this later on recanted and said, "I have made a terrible mistake. What I thought was clarifying is actually destroying the church." And essentially he repented, but the damage was done, because there was a generation of people who had learned this heresy, basically that scripture and reason and tradition and experience were the ways in which they were tools, but scripture is primary. And what happened is now experience is primary. And so now everything, you interpret scripture through your experience. Well, I feel like it says this. My experience says this. I identify as this. So therefore, this scripture doesn't apply to me, or it's no longer valid. That's been the problem in the Methodist Church. And that's what's gotten us to this point and gotten us into this kind of trouble. And the crazy thing is the Methodist Church still has, on the books, it's still theologically conservative. But what's happening is you have a lot of gay pastors You have lesbian pastors. You have some transgender pastors, actually. You have some other alternative lifestyle pastors that have got, that's just gone crazy. But there, some of them are out, and some of them are under the radar. And the bishops will not hold them accountable. That's the whole mission of being a bishop, is to hold people accountable to the true faith, and they're not holding them accountable. And so instead of the liberals tried to change the rules, and when they realized they couldn't change the rules, they decided, you know what, to heck with it. What we're going to do is we're just going to violate the rules, and we got our guys in the bureaucracy to help us out, and they'll just look the other way. Or they don't want to get into it, so they just let it slide or what have you. So sometimes it's because of they agree. Sometimes it's because they just don't want to, the bishops are administrators; they're not leaders a lot of times, and they don't want to get involved in a controversy that might cause people to be upset or something like that. So they just let it slide. And of course, here we are. And so conservatives have finally gotten fed up to the point where we're like, you know what? We're out. We're done. We are not going to do this any longer. We're not going to put up with this. And we had a protocol which would allow the churches to leave and leave with their property, because we're under a trust clause in the Methodist Church where if it ceases to be a Methodist Church, it goes back to the conference, to the Methodist Church. So even though you may have paid off your building and your congregation worked hard to do that, they don't actually own the building. And so the protocol allowed us to be able to leave with our property and that sort of thing. And we were supposed to vote on it in 2020, and then COVID happened. Then they kicked the can down the road to 2021. And then they said, oh, we can't do it in 2021 because of COVID. And then 2022 rolls around, and they said, oh, you know what? COVID still can't meet, even though all the other denominations are having their general conferences. And so now they've kicked it down to 2024. And so when they said that in February of this year, that they're kicking our general conference to 2024, where they're going to vote on the protocol to allow us to leave graciously, amicably, we said, you know what, you're just kicking the can down the road. Just soak us for more of taxes, essentially more apportionment payments, because you don't want to deal with this issue. We're gone. We're leaving. One way or another, we're out. And so a lot of some conferences, this means churches actually leave and lose their property. Wow. Other conferences have been very gracious.
Well, you know, this is something that we need to follow up. I want to do another podcast with you maybe in a few months, and we need to wrap up this short podcast. And so I want to give you the last word, and maybe you have a word of encouragement to some of our listeners who are maybe United Methodist pastors themselves, or maybe they're members, or maybe they grew up in that tradition and they're sad to see what's happening to the United Methodist Church. I just want to give you the last word. Often I will ask my guests to tell how people get hold of them, but we don't want people to get hold of you. We're doing this anonymously, but we will be.
You think get a hold of me, it may be a bad thing.
Is. But you know what? But people can take this podcast, get the link. Share it with people who would be interested in it. We'll be covering it on Charisma News and so forth. But as we wrap this up, I want you to just give me a word of encouragement. And then I want to ask you to close in prayer, and that will end our podcast.
Absolutely. My word of encouragement would be the 365 times in the scripture where either the Lord or an angel says, do not fear, do not be afraid. And do not be afraid. If you're a Methodist pastor, if you're a Methodist layperson, and you're out there and you don't know the unknown, we can trust the unknown to a known God. And when we can't always trace his hand, we can always trust his heart. And do not be afraid to step out of the institution and go your own way that God has called you. Because I believe truly, and I'm not saying this, I know it's a tagline that everybody uses, but truly the best is yet to come. We are seeing it in our church as we are getting closer and closer to leaving. We are seeing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a beautiful way. And I believe when we're unshackled and really, truly free from the denomination, and whether you go Global Methodist or whether you go non-denominational or what have you, or associate with something else, that God has such a rich and beautiful future for you and your people that you do not know yet. And so just be bold. Just step out and be bold. That would be my encouragement. And so let me pray for us.
Thank you.
Well, Father God, we thank you for each person who's listening to this. And I pray your blessing upon them. I pray a blessing upon their ministry and upon their families. I pray that you would fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would have the courage to step out and embrace the destiny that you have for each and every one of them and their congregations. Lord, you have so much work for us, as you said in Ephesians, work that you have planned in advance for us to do. And so, Father, we don't want to miss one bit of that. We want to embrace the mission and the vision of Jesus. And so, Father, as we go forward, we just ask that you would bless each one, strengthen them, encourage them, give them a spirit of boldness to come upon them, and let them know, Lord, that you are guiding and directing. Lord, we don't want to get ahead of you. We want to follow you, because that's, Lord, ultimately, our lives belong to you. And we love you. We honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.